Let's just close our eyes for a minute and just reflect and just have a moment with God, because it's been a powerful morning. Help us, Lord, to hear what you would have us hear, to remember what you would have us remember, and to by faith speak, to by faith be silent, to by faith step out and live as you would have us live. In Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm focusing on the Corinthians passage this morning. It must be the cold weather. I did wake up late this morning. So. Maybe I'm not meant to speak at all today. That has crossed my mind. The Corinthians are being seduced by some, I can presume, pretty good-looking, well-mannered, well-spoken preachers who see that they're on a good thing with the Corinthian church. So one must get rid of the old and bring in the new, like Paul, for instance. He's away at the moment and doesn't measure up to these vibrant go-getters. And so key to understanding these chapters of 2 Corinthians is to recognise that Paul faces criticism in absentia, both personally and even theologically. His opponents, who have infiltrated Corinth, sought to undermine him at a number of points. They apparently make much of their successes, for they live victorious Christian lives, whereas Paul shows many signs of weakness and vulnerability. In chapters 3, 4 and 5, and now 5, Paul rejects the Corinthians' new preoccupation with credentials. He refuses to sell or promote himself, as his opponents have been doing. The only letter of recommendation he will bring is the one written on his heart, namely his love for them. Yet he cannot simply ignore what's being said either. For in his personal integrity being slurred, so is the gospel's. For Paul, that gospel is about the way of the cross, not the way of success. This is why he began his letter by referring to his sufferings. Rather than being a sign, his sufferings, of incompetence and weakness, for Paul, they are signs of being in touch with the way of Jesus. Paul's struggles are still ours today, especially where the gospel is sold as something that will protect people from life's circumstances and choices, from illness and accident, from unemployment or homelessness. In that instance, Christianity becomes like insurance, a kind of spiritual capitalism. But Paul doesn't see the gospel that way. But he still has confidence to live in this world. He insists that the main thing for him is not his state of happiness in his earthly human body or in another realm, but living a life that pleases God. What pleases God will not be assessed by impressive credentials, which his opponents manipulatively spruik about, but their actual practice of ministry and his, which is what God will assess. Now, spruik is a word, you know that word, don't you? Because when I was going through this with Google and it does a spell check, it just would not recognise spruik. And I even thought, is it S-P-R-U-K-E? I don't think so. Didn't recognise that one either, so. In chapter 5, verse 11, Paul speaks of fear and reverence toward God. He takes his relationship with God seriously and with awe. It is not that Paul is acting out of fear, for that kind of motivation cannot be sustained. But he speaks of a life totally for God, in God, and of God, and hopes the Corinthians will recognize his heart and see the contrast with those who have been playing games with them at his expense. It is tricky for Paul because he wants to reject their self-commendation, but he needs to speak up for himself and so lays himself open to the same accusation. Paul is really saying, look, can't you see that my ministry is driven by compassion for you, not by a need for attention or to play power games? He does not mind being thought of as quite mad at times, as long as they see where his action and ministry is coming from. It seems in those days people were quick to call others mad, just like now maybe. For last week we heard how some thought, even Jesus' family thought, that he was mad for his ministry, because his ministry was so overwhelmingly busy, crowded, and he was confronting and confusing, for he kept reversing worldly values and he loved outcasts. He loved the sick. He loved the vulnerable. But it's Christ's love that drives Paul on, keeps him going, despite all the criticism and worldly attitudes. His self-esteem is not damaged because Paul trusts in Christ's love and call on his life. For Paul, the heart of his faith, his spirituality, and even his personhood is pleasing God and knowing God's love for him and sharing that love by preaching the true gospel. Faith in Christ celebrates resurrection to new life. Paul's faith has enabled him to deal with his own neediness. It has therefore freed him to be there for others, and his ministry agenda is not contaminated by the urge to meet his own needs. That is crucial for ministry. And obviously I read that. Came from the commentary. So who's looking at you, kid? Paul espouses a different value system which no longer looks at people according to how impressive they are in winning others' favour and affection. And it's hard. Well, I think it is at times. It's hard to view others and ourselves as God does, looking at the heart, seeing the real person inside, and being compassionate despite what you see. Christ died in a sense that all might join him in death. Death to selfishness and self-promotion. Death to reliance on others' acceptance, all which generates separation and sin. Paul's story of Jesus is informed by the cross, the look of love. His understanding of spirituality and ministry value the love and sacrifice Jesus has made for all. And so Paul describes believers as a new creation, indwell by the Holy Spirit, the Word, and encouraged by fellow believers. For as new creations, we have a different mindset, which does not look to impressive credentials, which people hope will claim the adulation of others, and so make their lives meaningful and valuable. Instead, the new mindset believes in being loved and set free from self-preoccupation with one's own worth. One can drop all the manipulative efforts to sustain an impressive image to establish one's worth. Can you believe that? Can I? The Bible states that love has already declared the worth, announced the forgiveness, and offered the hope, so the old ways can go. Jesus' love has already declared our worth, announced our forgiveness, and offered us hope, so the old ways can go. We are all new. What a relief for us and for others around us. We no longer have to prove ourselves. We can be free to love. I think I need to work on being a relief for others around me, because I do have an issue with some of this, as you may have realised. I always feel I have to prove myself. I think I need counselling. Okay. But I am definitely relaxing into the love that you have all shown me, especially in this current position, I must admit. Elsewhere, Paul writes that this needs fairly constant attention, and I was glad to read that. Some patterns of thinking are well established, and so Paul talks about the need to live and walk in the Spirit. We need to keep focusing, keep returning to the centre, keep allowing ourselves to encounter the risk and reward of being loved, of loving and living in a culture that struggles with these issues. Our church culture struggles too with what success looks like and with what gospel love looks like. In some areas, the church is put to shame in its reaction to refugees, discrimination, and human rights expectations. We need to analyse our ever-evolving society's culture and expectations too, to ensure God's gospel love is recognisable in our words and our actions. Like Paul, we need new hearts that are selfless and motivated by pleasing God. We are a new creation within our world, secure in God's love for us, with the gift of his love, with the gift of his hope and reconciliation to share. And that just means telling your story about you and Jesus in your words and with your emotion. Nothing flash. It's not an exam or a test beside a more creative Christian. The one you share with, or the many you share with your story, will see your heart, even despite your words or story. And maybe and hopefully they'll see God. If you have an opportunity to give an account of God in your life, joyfully give it, knowing you and your story are valued by God, no matter what anyone else thinks. Amen. We're going to have another song now.